The senses of sight and sound are equally powerful when it comes to the ways in which we engage the world. For creative creatures, they are also the driving forces behind the urge to translate what we see and hear in the form of music or visual arts. Artists working within multiple mediums experience both the advantage and challenge of shifting between points of entry into the creative process. Andy Summers is one of those artists. While best known as the guitarist for legendary art pop band The Police, Summers also has a 20-year career as a photographer. Inspired by the legacy of surrealism, rooted in his unique personal perspective, and typically rendered in black and white, his images capture and reflect his global travels in an intimate and uniquely illuminating light. Fittingly enough, the exhibit opening this weekend at Etherton Gallery is entitled Light Motifs. It is a joint exhibit featuring the work of both Summers and his friend Ralph Gibson. Gibson will be presenting his new body of work entitled Political Abstraction. Summers will be showing a selection of photographs taken over the last 20 years in conversation with Gibson's work. Both photographers will attend the opening reception and sign copies of their photography books from 7 to 10 on Saturday, September 19th. Recently, I spoke with Summers about the relationship between photography and music, this particular exhibit, his future creative projects, and his friendship with Ralph Gibson. Tell me a little bit about your history with Ralph. You guys have been friends for quite some time, correct?
Yeah, I met Ralph in the 80s around the... probably about 1983, and I know it was a series of events. I was signed up to produce a photography book, my first one, for William Morrow in New York, and I was sort of living in New York at the time. And anyway, it's a series of events, but one thing led to another, and I got in contact with Ralph in that period, and he helped me to put that first book called Throb together, and that was the start of our relationship. Obviously, we really hit it off, and I was in New York a lot, so we started to, hang out and found that we had, obviously, sort of crossover mutual interest both in music and photography, so we started up these, a really nice dialogue and so on and so forth, and, it's gone on all these years, so, and we've done a few things together over this time that we've known each other. So it's been a fruitful and great friendship.
Excellent. So I'd like to ask you a little bit about the relationship between your two main artistic mediums. As far as I can tell, obviously you have a long history as a musician, but you have a great passion for photography and this visual medium. What are the main things that stand out to you when you think about switching from sort of listening with your ears and actively being in audio mode and then shifting into the visual and the lens component? How is that different for you as a creative person?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, I don't think necessarily at the beginning I thought, photography is completely different. I just didn't think like one, that there was any relationship. I was doing one, I was doing the other. But, I've had to answer this question quite a lot over the years. People were obviously interested in is what's the relationship, I've learned to sort of articulate some thoughts about it. Is there a relationship between photography and music? Well, yes, in some ways, and completely not in other, completely different mediums. But that's not really true, because I think about the person that's maybe engaged in these two mediums or any two separate mediums, and you've probably got the same sensibility. If I'm drawn towards certain things in music, attracted to certain types of music, and I think I would sort of look for the parallel, the sort of equivalence in photography. So, I don't think, they're completely unrelated at all. I think it comes from a sort of emotional basis. Well, obviously, later it can be analytic and intellectual as well, because whenever you get into these mediums and you're trying to make art, You have to use all these things, emotional sensibilities, and then, have the craft and the ability and enough of a history to analyze and break it down into what's going on, components of things. But I also think in my case, I started doing photography as I sort of grew up as a teenager with all these art house films in Europe, Truffaut and Fellini, Bergman and all that, which were very a huge sort of emotional impact on me. And, you know, this is, you know, teenage years, you're trying to form yourself as a person. You know, probably wouldn't say, oh, I'm an artist at 15, but you would start to have the stirrings of all these things. And, you know, along with all my sort of nonstop guitar playing and obsession at that age, of course, I was going to see all these movies, and I think that the photography sort of came later, but I think there was sort of they coalesced, and I think a sort of deep strata in my person was that these films had a lot of influence on me and were, of course, all black and white, and I think that's why I started to shoot, you know, film back in the 80s and, you know, try and recreate some of this ethos that was so influential on me. And, you know, I would say in a very simple way, you know, looking for the music in photography, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, and aside from sort of the parallel points that you were talking about in terms of approaching things in a similar fashion or how those are related, I would just think that for a lot of artists, whether, you know, it's someone who is both a dancer and a writer or a visual artist and a musician, having it's those two different sets of creative muscles tend to actually strengthen the other one. You know what I mean?
I absolutely believe that. I think they do. I think one informs the other, and you can build on that. You come to another medium that you haven't done before, but you're so worked out in another one, always having to exercise your brain, think of, you know, structures, analyze, whatever, you know, that you've built some sort of, you know, art muscle that you can bring to another medium. Why not? You're not starting from ground zero necessarily.
Right. So let's talk just briefly maybe about, there's some specific photographs, that the gallery showed us. And I'd just like to ask you about a couple specific ones and, your reflections on creating them and why you selected them for the exhibit. The first one is Dollmaker.
Oh yeah. That was in Shanghai about 2 years ago or a year ago or something. Yeah. Why did I take that photograph?
Yeah. And what are your memories of it? I mean, obviously, if it's ended up in the exhibit,
there's a couple of things to that. And I'm glad you pulled that one out because I was looking at this guy. And I travel a lot in Asia. And you tend to see this sort of thing. There's a certain alley that I go to. I've been to Shanghai like 6 or 7 times now. I know it very well. And there's one area where there are all these alleys with all sorts of stuff going on and people making things. But anyway, this particular guy was in there making the doll. But it seems to me, I just thought there was something magical about man making the doll. There seems to be a lot of sort of fairy tales about people and dolls and trying to bring this thing to, you know, this figure to life and then sort of imbuing it with magic. There's something very magical and sort of like almost legend-like about that thing. And, you know, I'd right on top of that guy to get that particular photograph in a very crowded street. But, it attracted me. The idea of this guy's played starting this relationship with this, what was, you know, like trying to carve a person out of a piece of wood. And I just thought it was really an interesting thing, you know, that already connoted layers of meaning to me anyway.
Yes.
I think it's a strong photograph anyway. But then it works as a photograph. But yeah, I sort of saw all that stuff in it immediately. Like, oh, I got to get this one. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I guess those are, to put it simplistically, those are the two different elements. If you're talking about how something works visually as a composition and then in terms of what it signifies.
Yeah, both of those things. Exactly, exactly.
Great. And let's talk about Elvis Fan.
Mm-hmm. That one's become very popular.
Yeah, clearly. I just would imagine that's got to have many layers for you.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always a situation in how I actually did it. But, it actually started with the album cover, you know, which I found in, I think it's a place called Ueno Park in Tokyo. I was walking around, it's this big park in the center of Tokyo, and they had a sort of like a fair going on, and all around the side of the park were all people selling all kinds of, you know, junk and secondhand stuff and all that, all sort of curios and antiques. I saw the Elvis cover, and I thought, oh, that's great. I could do some. Somehow I thought I could do something with that, like a photograph. Anyway, it was a long time ago, and I was hanging out with this several Japanese girls, actually. We don't need to go there. So, you know, I had this object, you know, the Elvis cover, which, you know, was antique, and I thought, oh, God, it's so strong. And anyway, long story short, I managed to sort of create this picture with this anonymous but clearly Asian girl, you know, staring at the photo of Elvis. It just seemed significant to me and made a strong photograph.
Right. Well,
it resonates with people. Everybody loves that picture.
Well, there's certainly a long history in Japanese culture of admiring sort of Western pop culture elements, and obviously that illuminates at a high level. But
I mean, look at the picture. It's unlikely, you know, you wouldn't put that together immediately. So I think you've immediately got sort of two colliding worlds in that photograph.
Right. So in terms of what's next on the horizon for you creatively, what's on the table right now, either in terms of photography or music or both?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind taking a couple of months off, actually. But this year it's been mostly a lot of my time's been picking up with promoting the film I have out called Can't Stand Losing You,
the documentary about the police.
Yeah. I mean, it's been actually a lot of work for me, and I'm pretty engaged with that film company. So we're talking about a couple of other movie projects. I'm still kind of promoting it, and I'm probably going to have to go to Europe to do stuff with that there. And, you know, I've had a new CD out in the last couple of months called Metal Dog, so there's a lot of promotion on that. And that's occupied quite a lot of time. Right now, well, I'm still waiting on some film projects. I want to go back in the studio and start recording again. That's what I want to do right now if I have the time. But I've got an offer to go to Bhutan, of all places, next month to be in a movie. I may do that.
Well, a full creative agenda, clearly.
There's plenty going on. I mean, you know, not to mention, you know, I'm always playing. I like to be recording. You know, I put the CD out this year on and start straight away, if possible, on another one. And then, you know, I'm always organizing a lot of photography. You know, because I have phenomenal amounts of stuff, and it all takes sort of organizing and keeping in order, you know, selecting out and so on and so forth. So, there's not a lot of downtime.
No. Well, we're...
Except, you know, I say that, but, you know, as an artist, I need not, I don't know, if it's creative time, because I, you know, I go to the studio every day. I live in LA and work and create and come up with new music. So it's not really downtime. It's like time where you're trying to think up new stuff.
Yeah,
I'm always trying to think up new stuff. I get a bit tired of promoting. All I've done this year is yapped about myself in the past. I'm getting tired of it.
Understood. I believe me, I can relate to that.
It gets boring. What's exciting is to be, to play and create music and do new stuff.
Right.
And then you have to talk about it for years on end, you know.
The process, much more rewarding than the promotion, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you make something and then you get other people involved and they get involved with putting it out in the world and all that, they expect you to do your thing. I've been doing this pretty much all my life, but you can't wear out with it, you know, like, because it can be fun to promote for a while, but you really want to get back to the real deal, you know, which is being a creative artist. So, anyway,
excellent. Well,
it is, you know, not a big problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm really thrilled that you're going to be in Tucson to do the signing and be at the gallery, and congratulations on the opening.
Tomorrow.
Yes, you're going to be there very soon. All right. Thank you very much.
Nice talking to you, Hannah. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. The exhibit Leitmotifs will run through November 7th at Etherton Gallery, located at 135 South 6th Avenue. More information at ethertongallery.com. You're listening to KXCI 91.3 FM in Tucson and online everywhere at kxci.org. I'm Hannah Levine.